Best Sequential Discovery Puzzles Ranked 2026. Dax here. Let us skip the brochure language and find out what actually works. A sequential discovery SD puzzle is the genre where solving one stage physically yields a tool, a pin, key, magnet, or wedge hidden inside the object, that you then need to crack the next stage, building to a cascade of aha moments rather than a single click. It is distinct from a take apart or a burr. In an SD puzzle, the puzzle arms you as you go. The founding icon is Will Strabo's work, his aluminum cylinders and the 1984 first box which gave the genre its name and its grammar. Best collector piece is the Poplock T11 by Rainer Pop, widely called the greatest trick lock ever made. The honest caveat, the best of this genre is small batch, expensive and frequently sold out, with secondary prices that climb into the thousands. Patience and aftermarket vigilance are part of the hobby. Let me kill the headline first, most of what claims to be sequential discovery is just marketing. A random stack of fiddles with a price tag on top. But the real deal, the puzzles that actually are the smartest, most coherent mechanical objects you can hold. Here's what separates the real thing from the gimmick. The tools aren't dispensed, they're revealed. You don't extract a ball bearing because the designer decided step 8 should have one. You extract it because solving step 7 made the only logical path forward the one that spits it out. That's the whole name, that's the whole soul. The founding text is Will Strabo's, and I'm not dropping his name as folklore, I'm crediting him because he was the first to get it right. His 1984 first box and his aluminum cylinders are still teaching the form. Better than almost everything that came after, because Strabo's understood something that still trips up lesser designers. An SD puzzle is a narrative asterisk spine asterisk. Each step has to feel impossible before you understand it and inevitable after. When that spine holds, you get the best mechanical puzzle experience that exists. When it snaps, when steps become arbitrary, you get a gimmick wearing a premium price tag. So this ranking is ruthless. Here's the part every YouTube unboxing skips. The best SD puzzles are small batch, handmade, expensive, and routinely sold out within hours. A Strabo's drop evaporates. A Poplock sells in the hundreds of euros new and $3,000 used. Jesse Bourne's heirloom boxes run past 1,000. I won't lie about that, I'll tell you exactly which ones you can actually acquire and I'll mark the rest as what they are, grails. One more thing, because you should know this before you trust any ranking at all, Puzzlewick sells nothing. No inventory, no affiliate skim, no cut. We point you at the makers and the shops that earn the work. Where a price is approximate or a piece is between batches, I mark it honestly. Now the field. If this guide helps, using the Amazon links on the page is a simple way to support Puzzlewick at no additional cost to you. What actually makes a puzzle sequential discovery, and why is it the connoisseur's genre? Strip away the romance and an SD puzzle is defined by one mechanical fact. The tools you need are concealed within the puzzle and you extract them in sequence. You don't bring an Allen key from your drawer. You don't tap it on a table hoping something shifts. The puzzle equips you. A panel slides to reveal a pin, the pin pushes a hidden detent, that releases a rod, the rod levers open a chamber holding the next implement. Each discovery is a key that fits exactly one lock and finding what a found tool is asterisk for asterisk is its own distinct aha. This is why the genre sits at the top of the connoisseur's hierarchy. A great burr is a spatial proof. A great take-apart is a single elegant secret. An SD puzzle is a asterisk campaign, a chain of small puzzles, each a different flavor, a maze here, a lever there, a magnetic trick, a balance problem, threaded into one object so that solving feels like an expedition rather than a riddle. Greg Jelf, who maintains one of the most thorough mechanical puzzle guides online, frames it cleanly. The experience is crafted as a journey where each move releases a kind of tool from the body of the puzzle, which then enables a step that was impossible before. Multiple aha moments, one object. The critical fault line, and where I get ruthless, is coherence. A masterpiece SD puzzle has logic running through it like a spine. In hindsight, every step was clued, nothing was arbitrary, and the tools feel discovered rather than dispensed. A mediocre one is a checklist of unrelated fiddles padded to inflate the step count. The step count itself is a vanity metric. 12 steps that each follow from the last beat, 20 that don't. Hold every puzzle below to that standard and the field sorts itself fast. The other thing the genre demands, which take-apart puzzles don't, is reversibility and respect for the mechanism. Many of these, especially the locks, are as hard to asterisk reclose as to open, and a clumsy solver can jam tools inside or with the heavy brass pieces do real damage. That's not a flaw, it's the form asserting that you are operating a precision machine, not brute-forcing a toy. If that intimidates you, the genre is telling you something true. A burr with one trick isn't SD if a puzzle yields no tool if you're just finding a non-obvious move order, it's a sequential movement puzzle, not sequential discovery. The tool extraction is the genre's whole identity. Plenty of listings blur this to ride the prestige. Don't pay the SD premium for a glorified take-apart. SD is an element, not a shape. An SD puzzle can be a box, a lock, a bolt, a cylinder, even a burr. Sequential discovery describes the solving experience, not the silhouette, which is exactly why it cross-pollinates with every other genre and produces the hobby's most inventive hybrids. Where did the genre come from, and why does every conversation start with Will Strabo's? Because he wrote the grammar. Will Strabo's, the Dutch designer engineer, built the first box around 1984, his first puzzle box, later re-released in machined aluminum, and it remains a foundational text of the form. No tapping, no magnets, no external tools, every clue you need is built into the object and you solve by logic, not luck. The shop copy on the metal re-release is almost a manifesto for the genre, engineered to exceptional tolerances. All clues internal, no solution provided. That last part matters. Strabo's doesn't hand you a manual, because in a true SD puzzle, the object is the manual. Then there are the aluminum cylinders, the first cylinder and its siblings, which are, if anything, even purer pedagogy. Kevin at PuzzleMad, one of the genre's most reliable critics, describes the maddening intimacy of them perfectly. There are no clues at all you can do is squeeze the lid and then things move inside. He needed a week of intermittent play before he understood the secret. You solve those cylinders partly by sound, operating essentially blind, listening to internal parts shift. That is SD distilled to its essence. The puzzle reveals itself only to a solver paying ferocious attention. What makes Strabo's the origin point isn't just chronology, earlier curiosities like the Victorian canon and ball, catalogued. In Professor Hoffman's 1893, puzzles old and new predate him and arguably qualify. It's that he formalized the aesthetic precision metalwork, internal logic, a narrative of escalating discovery, zero handholding. Every designer in this ranking is, whether they'd say so or not, working in a tradition he codified. The Poplock's Jesse Bourne's boxes, Brian Young's brass machines, Andrew Crowell's hybrid cubes, all of it descends from the proposition that a puzzle can arm you as you solve it. The craft consequence, Strabo's pieces are tolerance-tight, beautiful, and predictably hard to get. They drop in batches and vanish. The first box currently runs about £200.52 at JP Games when in stock. The cylinders surface intermittently through specialist shops and the secondary market. If you want to understand the genre from its source, start here and accept that in stock is a temporary condition. Buy your first Strabo's when you see it. Strabo's drops sell through fast and restocks are irregular. If the first box or a cylinder is listed in stock at a reputable specialist, JP Games, Puzzle Master, that's the moment. Waiting for a better deal usually means waiting for the secondary market where prices only go up. Solve by sound on the aluminum cylinders. Experienced solvers describe working almost entirely by ear, listening for internal parts to seat or drop. If you're stuck, stop forcing and start listening. The cylinder is talking to you. What's the single best sequential discovery puzzle, and what's the honest catch? If I'm judging on density of invention, coherence of design, and sheer craft, the crown goes to Jesse Bourne's Rattler's Tale. Bourne's whole philosophy is the genre's ideal in one sentence, going deeper on a puzzle and making it really cool and really well carved with lots of hidden compartments and stuff going on. And the Rattler's Tale delivers exactly that. A snake-themed sequential discovery box that, in his telling, discovered itself as mechanisms were added and subtracted in development. It is a layered campaign of compartments and tools wrapped in absurdly good woodwork, solid wenge, Ipe carvings, padauk accents, a bakoed interior, copper parts, and a genuine 1880s Indian head penny baked into the solve. This is what happens when SD design meets heirloom marquetry. Now the catch, and it's a big one. These are hand-built by a single craftsman, and you are buying a functional sculpture as much as a puzzle. It surfaces now mainly on the secondary market, Cubic Dissections Marketplace, Puzzle Paradise, often sealed, often above issue price. If best means best object, this is it. If best means best thing you can order tonight, look three sections down. The honest runner-up for best overall and the better answer for many of you is the founder himself, Strabo's first box. It's the genre's Rosetta Stone, it's brilliant, it's obtainable for £252, and it will teach you to read SD puzzles in a way no entry-level piece can. I'd argue every serious collector should own one before chasing the four-figure grails. A word on the broader best conversation. The most cited community ranking on the Puzzling in Wonderland's blog is wall-to-wall Strabo's at the top, Angel Box, Pachinko Box, Lotus First Box with Brian Young's Big Ben and Houdini's Torture Cell and Gary Fauci's Diabolical Miniatures close behind. I don't disagree with that taste. I just add that best has fractured since 2019 as Bourne Crowell and the two Brass Monkeys crew push the form into hybrid territory. The genre's ceiling keeps rising. That's a good problem. Poplock T12, 3/4 frontlift view of the brass lock body, best object not equal to best by the Rattler's Tale is the finest SD object I can point to, and the worst recommendation I could give a newcomer. Four figure, sold out heirlooms are the reward at the end of the hobby, not the on-ramp. Earn your way up, don't mortgage your way in. Own a first box before you chase grails. Strabo's first box is obtainable, affordable by genre standards, and the single best teacher of how SD logic works. Solve it and the expensive grails become richer, you'll read their cluing instead of flailing. It's the prerequisite, not the consolation prize. What's the best entry-level SD puzzle that doesn't cost a paycheck or sell out instantly? This is the most important question in the whole article, because the genre's reputation for being expensive and unobtainable scares off exactly the people who'd love it most. Good news, there are real in-print affordable on-ramps. My top pick for a true beginner is the Crux Puzzles re-release of Brian Young's Houdini's Torture Cell. The original, which won the jury first prize at the 2012 NAB Yashigahara Puzzle Design Competition, was rare and pricey for years. For the price of a board game, you get a legitimate entry into the form designed by one of its masters. That is the deal of the genre, full stop. For a step up in craft while staying sane on price, the Two Brass Monkeys series is the sweet spot. These are gorgeous, hefty brass puzzles that look like ordinary burrs and behave like nothing of the sort. The line's sequential discovery entry hides the monkey and asks you to feed him bananas across 10 plus steps. The flagship Brass Monkey SD / Sequential runs about £200.45, which is real money but buys museum-grade machining and a beautifully coherent solve. If Houdini's Torture Cell hooks you, this is the natural next purchase, and crucially the Brass Monkey line restocks far more reliably than the limited grails. The genre-appropriate beginner's reading list, drawn from a community thread of recommended first SD puzzles, runs roughly: Houdini's Torture Cell, the Mr. Puzzle Water Series, Fuji Plugged Well, Abraham's Well, the Danlock, and Strabo's First Box. Note that several of those, the Mr. Puzzle limited editions especially, are themselves collector items now, but Houdini's Torture Cell and the Danlock remain attainable, which is why they anchor my entry tier. Start with one that's actually in print, get the aha under your belt, and then decide how deep the rabbit hole goes. Start in print, not aspirational. Cutting your teeth on a sold-out grail means overpaying on the secondary market for a difficulty curve you're not ready for. Get the aha cheap first. Mr. Puzzle's Water Series is beginner-friendly when you can find it lovely starters in spirit, harder to source than the brass re-releases. Lockstyle SD, are the Danlock and the Poplocks really the best the genre offers? The Tricklock branch of SD is its own subculture and it produces two names you cannot avoid, Dan Feldman and Rainer Pop. Danlock, crafted by Israeli designer Dan Feldman in 1996, is the people's champion, frequently called the best puzzle lock ever made, and a sequential discovery masterpiece in miniature. What I love about it, critically, is its asterisk honesty of materials. It begins life as a real, fully functioning padlock that Feldman modifies, rather than a puzzle manufactured to look lockish. That grounding gives it a devious authenticity. It hides two keys, one trapped by the shackle, one deliberately broken, and packs what feels like three puzzles into one body. Puzzle Master rates it difficulty 9, and the consensus is that it stands shoulder to shoulder with the best pop locks at a fraction of the price and hassle. The kicker and the mark of a great SD lock, it is just as hard to close as to open. That's the genre flexing. Then there's Rainer Pop, the German machinist many consider the greatest living puzzle lock maker. He hand turns and mills every component from solid brass and stainless steel, naming his locks in a numbered sequence from T1 onward. These are the genre's heavyweight champions, literally. The T12 is described as a brute that will do serious damage if you're ever clumsy enough to drop one, opening across 10 steps. The T11 is widely hailed as the greatest trick lock ever created, one of the largest, most beautiful, and most coveted locks in the hobby. A 13-step monster. Collectors argue endlessly over the ranking. One well-known ordering runs T3, T5, T2, T4, T7, T6 among the mid-series, which is exactly the sign of a body of work with no weak entries. So, are they the best in the lock category? Yes, but with a hard asterisk on asterisk access, the Danlock you can find. The pop locks are a different sport. This is the most rewarding and most punishing corner of the genre simultaneously. Start with the Danlock. Graduate to a poplock only when you've accepted that the chase is part of the product. Brass Cannon Brian Young / Mr. Puzzle, brass reissue of the Cannon and Ball Puzzle Danlock vs. Poplock. Per the collectors, a recurring forum verdict gives the Danlock the edge on pure puzzling, because it's made from a purchased lock that starts life fully functioning, not built from the ground up as a puzzle lock. The poplocks win on craft and scale. The Danlock wins on devious authenticity and on price. The T11's real difficulty is the checkout page. Mechanically, the Poplock T11 is a sublime 13-step machine. A puzzle you can't obtain is a puzzle you can't solve, so I rank Pop's craft at the summit while warning you the summit is gated. Heirloom and Hybrid SD, who's pushing the genre forward right now? The genre didn't freeze in 1984. Two forces are expanding it, and both belong on a serious collector's radar. First, the heirloom box tradition, where SD design fuses with master woodworking. Jesse Bourne is the standard bearer, the Rattler's Tale is his showpiece, but his catalog, The Secret Wood Book, The Lost Vault of Jesse James and others, consistently marries deep multi-step discovery to museum-grade carving. Bourne's pieces are story objects, themed, lavishly material, built in tiny numbered editions. They sit at the top of the price and prestige curve precisely because nobody questions whether the craft justifies the concept. It does. Cubic Dissection, Eric Fuller's workshop and marketplace, is the natural home for this tier, both producing fine wooden puzzles and hosting the secondary trade where these heirlooms change hands. Second, the hybrid frontier where SD collides with other genres to make things that didn't exist a decade ago. Dr. Andrew Crowell, an aerospace engineer who wrote software to generate turning interlocking cube designs, is the most exciting practitioner here. His Burr-Bot, Burr-Bank and Tick-Vault graph sequential discovery campaigns onto turning cube and Burr-Box structures, producing some of the most genuinely novel mechanical puzzles in recent memory. This is SD as an asterisk modifier, layered onto already hard forms to compound the challenge. The two Brass Monkeys team, Ali Morris, Steve Nishals and collaborators, works the same hybrid Seaman Brass, and reviewers like Stephen Canfield at Boxes and Booze have documented the lineage in detail. What unites the cutting edge is ambition over arbitrariness. The danger when designers chase novelty is incoherence, bolting genres together for spectacle. The good ones, Born, Crowell, the Monkeys, never lose the spine. Every found tool still earns its step. Every step still follows logically, however baroque the architecture gets. That discipline is why this generation is worth your money and not just your curiosity. The genre's best years may be ahead of it, which is the highest praise I give anything, and I don't give it often. Danlock by Dan Feldman, Brass Puzzle Padlock, the classic tricklock. Watch the workshops, not the auctions, for Born and Crowell pieces. Get on maker mailing lists and watch cubic dissections drops directly. By the time something hits a secondary auction, it's marked up. The maker's own release channels are where issue prices live, and where the patient collector wins. Hybrids raise the difficulty floor. Crowell's Tick Plus SD designs assume you can already handle a turning interlocking cube before the discovery layer even begins. These are not starter puzzles. They're for solvers who have cleared the entry tier and want their two hardest genres fused into one object. Blunt buyer's reality. Why are these so expensive and hard to get, and how do you actually acquire one? Time to be honest about the part of this hobby nobody puts in the unboxing thumbnail. Great SD puzzles are expensive and scarce for structural unavoidable reasons, and you should understand them before you fall in love. They're handmade by individuals. A poplock is hand-turned and milled from solid brass and stainless by Rainer Pop himself. A Jesse Bourne box is carved from exotic hardwoods by one craftsman. There is no factory, no economy of scale. The labor is asterisk the product, and the labor is finite, which is why additions are tiny. Rattler's Tale, 300 ever, and why a single maker's annual output is measured in dozens, not thousands. Tolerances are brutal. SD mechanisms only work if parts seat to fractions of a millimeter. Strabo's aluminum work is praised specifically for exceptional tolerances. That precision is slow and unforgiving to produce, and it doesn't scale to mass manufacture without losing the very smoothness that makes the solve feel magical. Demand vastly outstrips supply. When a desirable puzzle drops, it sells in hours, Mr. Puzzles Abraham's Well sold out in 12 hours. Limited editions then migrate to the secondary market, eBay Puzzle Paradise Cubic Dissections Marketplace, where prices climb hard. This is normal, not gouging. It's what a fixed supply of a coveted handmade object does. So how do you actually get one? 1. Buy the imprint stuff immediately. Houdini's Torture Cell, the Danlock, the Brass Monkey Line, Strabo's first box when listed. These are your reliable wins. 2. Get on the lists, maker newsletters and shop drop alerts. Cubic Dissection, 2 Brass Monkeys, Mr. Puzzle, Sloyd Puzzle Master are how you catch limited releases at issue price. 3. Work the secondary market with discipline. Puzzle Paradise and eBay have everything if you'll pay the premium. Set a number and hold it. 4. Accept the chase. For the grails, vigilance is part of the product. The puzzle that arrives after a 6-month hunt hits differently, and yes, that's partly the genre manipulating you, and yes, it works. Set a secondary market ceiling and hold it for grails like the T11 or Bourne's boxes. Decide your maximum before you bid and don't chase past it. There's always another listing eventually. And emotional overpaying is how collections turn into regret. Discipline beats FOMO every single time. Sold out in 12 hours is the norm, Mr. Puzzles Abraham's Well sold its first batch in 12 hours, and that's typical, not exceptional, for desirable SD drops. If you're not on the maker's mailing list when release day hits, you've already missed it. Subscribe before you browse. Final verdict. Sequential discovery is the summit of mechanical puzzling, and like most summits, the view is gated behind effort and expense. Blunt truth I won't soften. The very best of this genre is small batch, handmade, expensive, and frequently sold out, with secondary prices that climb into the thousands. The chase is real, and for the grails, it's part of the product. Buy imprint pieces the moment you see them, get on the maker mailing lists, and set a hard ceiling before you ever touch the secondary market. One last thing, because it's the whole reason to trust a word of this: Puzzlewick sells nothing. No inventory, no affiliate cut, no skim. Every price above is marked approximate where it's uncertain. Every maker is named so the credit and the money go to the people who earned it, and every link points you at them, not at us. We're here to point you at the makers and get out of your way. Frequently asked questions: what is a sequential discovery puzzle? It's a mechanical puzzle where solving each stage physically yields a tool, a pin, key, ball bearing, magnet, or wedge hidden inside the object that you then need to crack the next stage. The defining trait is that the tools live inside the puzzle and you extract them in sequence, so discover the tool, discover its use becomes the whole game. The result is a cascade of multiple aha moments rather than one single solution, which is why many collectors consider it the most sophisticated category of mechanical puzzle. How is an SD puzzle different from a burr or a take-apart puzzle? A take-apart has a single secret. A burr is a spatial move order problem. A sequential discovery puzzle differs because the puzzle arms you as you go. Each solve step releases a tool that enables the next, building a chain of sub-puzzles. Importantly, SD is an element rather than a shape. An SD puzzle can be a box, a lock, a bolt, or even a burr. So a burr can have SD elements layered into it, but a plain burr with no tool extraction is not sequential discovery. What's the best SD puzzle for beginners? It's a genuine sequential discovery experience designed by a genre master. You find tools and use them to free Houdini, and it's in print and widely available, so there's no chase. Start with an imprint puzzle to get your first aha cheaply before chasing the expensive, sold-out grails. What is the first box? Who is Will Strabos? Will Strabos is the Dutch designer-engineer widely credited with codifying the SD genre. His first box, built around 1984 and later re-released in machined aluminum, is a foundational text of the form. The goal is to extract a gold anodized rod from inside. Every clue is built into the object and no solution is provided. Along with his aluminum cylinders, it established the genre's aesthetic of precision metalwork, internal logic, and zero hand-holding. Are sequential discovery puzzles reusable/resettable? Yes, they're designed to be solved, reset, and resolved, and you can hand them to friends. In fact, a hallmark of a great SD puzzle, especially the locks, is that reclosing is as hard as opening. The Danlock is famous for being just as difficult to lock as to unlock. The caution, resetting requires care because a clumsy solver can jam tools inside, and with the heavy brass locks, dropping one can cause real damage. Treat them as precision machines, not toys. Why are SD puzzles so expensive and hard to get? Because they're handmade by individual craftsmen to brutal tolerances with no factory and no economy of scale, the labor is the product and it's finite. A poplock is hand-turned from solid brass by Rainer Pop himself. A Jesse Bourne box is carved by one person. Additions are Tiny Bourne's Rattler's Tale, 300 ever and demand vastly outstrips supply, so desirable drops sell out in hours and migrate to the secondary market at steep markups. It's structural scarcity, not gouging. What's the best collector/heirloom SD puzzle? Both sit at the genre's apex of craft, prestige, price, and difficulty of acquisition. How hard are sequential discovery puzzles? It ranges widely. Entry pieces like Houdini's Torture Cell are approachable and beatable in a sitting. The flagships are punishing. Strabo's aluminum cylinders gave an experienced reviewer a week of intermittent play before the secret clicked, and poplocks run 10 to 13 steps. Difficulty also isn't just step count, coherence matters more, and the hardest puzzles demand patience, careful observation, sometimes solving by sound, and a tolerance for being stuck. Match the puzzle to your experience, don't start at the top. Can you get hints or solutions for SD puzzles? Often yes, but the best designers deliberately withhold them. Strabo's famously provides no solution, because in a true SD puzzle the object is meant to be its own manual. For most commercial pieces you can find walkthroughs and detailed reviews on blogs like PuzzleMad, Boxes and Booze, and ExplorerPuzzles.com, plus video solves on YouTube. Community forums, the REVOMAZE user group, Reddit's R puzzles are good for nudge-style hints. That said, peeking trades away the genre's entire payoff, the discovery is the point. What's the best value SD puzzle? Both are in print, so you pay issue price rather than secondary market markups. What is a poplock? A poplock is a handmade puzzle lock by Rainer Pop, a German machinist many consider the greatest living puzzle lock maker. He hand turns and mills every component from solid brass and stainless steel, and names his locks in a numbered sequence from T1 onward. They're sequential discovery locks, you progress through multiple steps, each yielding what you need for the next, and they're heavyweight in every sense. The T12 is a brute, the T11 is hailed as the greatest trick lock ever made. They're coveted, expensive, and routinely sold out. Where can I buy sequential discovery puzzles? For in-print pieces, Puzzle Master, Crux Puzzles, JP Games, Two Brass Monkeys, Mr. Puzzle Australia, and Sloyd. For handmade and heirloom work, Cubic Dissection, Eric Fuller's Workshop and Marketplace, and the maker's own sites, jessebourne.com, poplock.com, for limited and out-of-print grails, the secondary market, Puzzle Paradise, and eBay. The winning strategy is to buy in-print puzzles immediately, get on maker mailing lists for drop alerts, and work the secondary market with a firm price ceiling. Puzzlewick sells none of these, we just point you to the makers.